Hello and welcome. It's time for Atomic Radio Hour, episode 351, post-nuclear podcast. How are you? It's me, Vince, your host. I hope you're well. You look great as usual. What's new? What's going on? What's happening? You ever hit a point where you feel like everything being made currently is for you? I know it's kind of dystopian to sit there and only ever talk about, which, whoa, what a surprise, dystopian things to talk about. Before I even get into this, shout out to the Patreon, link in the description below. Check it out if you like the show. A bunch of links in the description as well, whatever. It's dystopian to only talk about products. I'm not dumb, I know that. But, you know, in a world where the only thing that is available for a decent price is entertainment, it seems like the thing that I look for. And it just seems like this year, everything, well, maybe not even this year, but just like the events that have been transpiring, it just seems like everything's been made for me in a weird way, which maybe that just means it's working. Maybe the propaganda's just working. But Kyle sent me something today about how they're putting Sonic in Fortnite. And it's not even that there's a Sonic skin. It's just like the car's wheels and like a car that you can drive around. And it's one of those things of like, I can't even be upset. it's such a me thing to have wanted. Oh, look, here's Sonic. And Godzilla is in Fortnite. A new skate game came out, and it's pretty decent. Not going to lie, it feels a little hollow. And I don't know if that's because it's made by EA or if it's a live service game, but it feels a little hollow in the sense of like, Skate 1 very much felt like a representation of what skate culture was at the time. Skate 2 even more so. And 3 felt like a representation of like borderline mainstream skate culture. The skate games are games that I remember my friends that I didn't play video games with, but played video games. It was something we could talk about. Like, my friends that weren't playing Fallout or Borderlands or Fable were playing Skate and Grand Theft Auto. And all of my friends that, like, played video games, not just, like, recreation, but even though it is recreation, like, you know, the nerds, the losers. You know, I don't know how to talk to women then. I barely know how to do it now, but I was playing video games. Shit like that. That all felt like it was, like, those games were just something special about, like, that era. And those skate games distilled what it felt like. And I've never skated. I have a very hard time understanding frontside, backside. I don't know why my brain just doesn't comprehend it. But, comma, those games felt like, they didn't feel like an appropriation of skate culture. They didn't feel like, oh, hey, my niece really likes this or whatever, and then here it is. It was very much a, this is what skate culture feels like. And this game kind of feels like a corpo. It's fun, don't get me wrong. It's a little snappier than the other skate games. Like, you kind of, like, magnetize to rails. But there's little things, like the technology allows you to just kind of do a kickflip and slam down, or do an ollie. I'm more of a nollie fella myself, but like do it and come right back down. There's stuff like that. I don't like that. I just don't like that I don't have access to a real customizable wardrobe and I have to buy everything or unlock everything. I don't hate that because the original skate games, you don't want everything, but like I don't want generic t-shirt number 6. I don't want generic baggy pair of pants. But that's like a really cool thing I like. My character has baggy pants on. And when I do tricks, they come up. And you can see the layers. Like you can see a shoe sock. And then slam down. Because it's little stuff like that that I really, really enjoy. I like that it's always online. Even though I wish there was a way to not have it always online. Even though it is a live service game. But the point I'm getting at with all of this is it just feels like things are being made for me. And I wonder if this is how normies, casuals, if you will, felt like in the 80s. Maybe even before that, because I'm thinking like Star Wars came out and that was a unification of nerd shit and non-nerd shit. I don't know if I talked about it here or not, but I'm going to talk about it because it's a really interesting thing that came across my plate, if you will. I don't know. Like, what is prime nerd shit? Like, what is prime nerd shit? Like, if you go all the way back, like, is it comic books? Is it film? What is prime nerd shit? And I really came down to, I think prime nerd shit is fantasy, sci-fi, and then horror. Like, there's the three things that kind of are the genre of prime nerd shit. And I really think it's those three. Now, I'm not saying the medium in which you enjoy it in. I think saying comics is too broad, because before 38, it wasn't just superhero comics. It was a bunch of other stuff. And then there's a bunch of horror stuff, whatever. I'm not going to get into the history of comic books, because this isn't about that. It's when you think of prime nerd shit, I think of it as a three-way Venn diagram. Horror, it's like horror, sci-fi, fantasy, and then directly in the middle is just, it just says nerd shit real big. That's what I picture the cross section. That's what I picture it. And then out of that is branching branches that branch out branchingly. I don't remember. So we're at a point where like superhero movies are good and the Godzilla is good. And there's a point like the late 2000s, maybe the end of the aughts, the beginning of the 10s, I believe, that some Godzilla fans refer to as like the dark times, and now we're completely out of that. We're getting good Japanese movies, we're getting good American movies. It just feels like maybe I have just drank the Kool-Aid and become a consumer. Who knows? It feels good to be in a time where you feel like your interests are interests to others, and I feel respected in that. All of this to say, well, actually, hold on, pause. Podcasts. Why did I not even think of that? It seems like I really think podcasting is going to be studied as a huge cultural event. The American elections, more or less, in my opinion, were decided by podcasting. Without getting too political, one of the two candidates went on podcasts, and it was Joe Rogan's podcast, Theo Von's podcast, and a couple other ones. But those two alone were the big ones that I think really did it. And I remember being in high school and a friend of mine said to me, like, yo, we should make a podcast. We never did it. And then I made a podcast in 2018, and I never thought that we'd be at the point where whoever went on whatever podcast decided who the president was, more or less. I mean, it makes sense. In 2008, Obama was the first president to really utilize the internet, and that was a big reason why he probably won. But also, everything is cyclical, and we're just back to radio plays and talk radio. And I've always liked both of those things, and now we're just, and we're at the 20s again. Let's get into this week's lore. Before I can get to this week's lore, I want to give a quick shout out again to the Patreon, because the Patreon, the show continues to grow and get better. And like I'm going to talk a little bit at the end of the episode, there's a small change that's going to be happening. But these folks, these fine, great, magnificent, fabulous, other adjective folks, are the best. And because of them, the show continues to grow and get better. And there's some people I have to thank for keeping the lights on around these parts. And starting at the top, I have to thank the OG Noah. Thank you, Noah. After Noah, I have to thank Mellow Millhouse. Thank you to Mellow Millhouse. After Mellow Millhouse, I have to thank Danish Hound Dog. Thank you to Danish Hound Dog. After Danish Hound Dog, I have to thank Brotherhood Outcast. Thank you to Brotherhood Outcast. And last but certainly not least, I have to thank Willie DeWitt. Thank you to Willie DeWitt. Check out the Patreon if you get a chance. Bunch of perks, bunch of tiers. Check it on out. Might be some changes coming soon. I'll let you know real, real quick, real, real fast, real, real soon. I love you. And now to this week's lore. So this week, I got some stuff coming up, which I'm going to talk about in segment three. So I needed something a little fun, a little fresh. There's two things that I put in the Patreon to see what you guys would want to hear. One of them I think I might have done already, and I just don't have any lore anywhere of it, and I can't find the episode that it's from. Another one's one that I've wanted to do for a while for several reasons. So if you want to hear any lore, and I mean any lore whatsoever from the Fallout series, the games, the one comic book we have, the TV show, anything, check out the Patreon, because even at the $1 tier, your voice is heard every single week when I ask a poll question of what you want to hear. And also, if you just want to hear something, Patreon, just leave a comment on really anything, especially if it's recent, and I'm going to see it. And maybe it'll get picked for this week's lore. So, by way of the Ghoulman Entertainment Patreon, I bring to you the lore on Gustavo from Fallout 3. Gustavo. Someone that I've wanted to talk about for a while, because they're someone who you would think would be more important. They're not a big name character, but they're a guard. They're the security for Tenpenny Tower. The head, the chief security agent person, man. You would think that they would be a bigger presence. You would think that they would show up and have a little more say in the universe. One of the biggest pieces of lore that's not even in-game comes from the Fallout 3 official game guide, which is something I own. It's on the Fallout shelf to my right. But I get all of my lore off of the Fallout Wiki, fallout.fandom.com, the Nukipedia, if you will. I love these games. I've played them, obviously. But every now and again, I need a quick reference, a little update on the lore. And this is a quote directly from... It's paraphrased. I shortened it a little bit. But it's a quote directly from the Fallout 3 official game guide. Prior to becoming security chief of Tenpenny Tower, Gustavo worked his way up to become leader of a mercenary band of professional fighters. Mr. Burke was rescued by Gustavo and his band, and quickly hired him and his men to form the security force at the tower. Now, like I said, this does come from the official game guide. There is a bit of a discrepancy whether or not the game guides are actually canon. If you ask me, they're canon because they're official game guides. They say official on them. I'm assuming someone at Bethesda read it. Someone gave a pass through to see what was added. I can't find anything on Burke's page about what this was that he could have gone through that made his life harder and that he needed to be saved by Gustavo and his men. But now this is his job, this is his occupation. And something about him is that he hates ghouls. Gustavo cannot stand ghouls. And also his boss, Alistair Tenpenny, the fellow who owns and operates Tenpenny Tower, also can't stand them. Gustavo actually hates them more than Tenpenny does. But still, hatred is hatred. And they both agree that they shouldn't allow ghouls in the tower, no matter if the ghouls have caps or not. I believe it's Three Dog who says, "No ghoulie, no how." But Gustavo has, I don't have it written down, Gustavo has a direct quote that, again, paraphrased, is along the lines of, "I don't care how big the mountain of caps is, they're not getting in the tower. Tenpenny does not want them in the tower." And if you speak to Gustavo... when you get to Tenpenny Tower, either him or Roy Phillips, the ghoul outside, whichever one you speak to first, will trigger the quest called Tenpenny Tower, where you can choose, do you want to be a friend to the ghouls, or would you like to partake in man's oldest pastime, bigotry? So depending on one of the two routes you can take, you can change the outcome of Tenpenny Tower. If you go with Gustavo, he'll send you into Roy's hideout inside of the Warrington Station in the Metro, not far from Tenpenny Tower. He'll send you there, and you take out Roy and Michael Masters and Bessie Lynn, three people that are conspiring together along with some ferals that are down there to get into Tenpenny. Now, if you work with Roy Phillips, you have to convince Edgar Wellington II, Millicent Wellington, Anthony Ling, Lydia Montenegro, and Susan Lancaster. And if they all say okay to let the ghouls in because it'll make money or something, the ghouls will come in and they'll slaughter everybody. The irony of this is Herbert Daring Dashwood is also living in Tenpenny Tower, and he himself is an honorary ghoul. He gets the pass, more or less. He's the fella who him and his stalwart ghoul manservant, Argyle, went around the world, and at the end of Herbert Daring Dashwood's life, this is where he chose to retire. And even though he's an honorary ghoul, he's respected by ghouls because he saw ghouls as people and allowed this ghoul, Argyle, to pal around with him the ghouls will come in and murder him brutally, mercilessly. I remember the first time I ever did this quest line and saw what they did. I was like, oh my god, I can unify the wastes? Fantastic. Send them in. Oh, everyone's dead and gone, and there's blood everywhere. If you do that route, you get the ghoul mask. And I think the ghoul mask is one of the best items to have in the game, especially late game when you're going up against feral ghoul reavers. So, choose your side. But to really harp on how much Gustavo hates ghouls, there's a thing that he'll say to you about how much he hates them. He goes,
your bleeding heart is liable to get you in a lot of trouble one day. Look, kid, eventually all ghouls go zombie on your ass. It's only a matter of time. Kill them when you find them. It's a win-win. You put them out of their misery and save someone else from getting torn apart.
He's a piece of shit. Like, I have no other way to put it. And again, I would think you would find out a little bit more. Is he ex-Talon Company? He has similar armor. He's combat armor on, and Talon Company armor is only black with a talon painted on it. But you would think, oh, I'm going to... He would have a little bit more. He would have a little more detail on him. Regardless, if you never do the quest, if you do the quest in favor of Tenpenny Tower and slaughter the ghouls, Gustavo, as soon as you meet him, is a merchant. He's Tenpenny Tower's personal arms dealer. If you go to him, you can buy various ammos, various weapons, armors, and stim packs. Now, if Tenpenny dies, a man who's willing to work with the ghouls, even if it bites him in the ass at the end of the quest, a man who's willing to work with the ghouls, Gustavo comes into play if Tenpenny dies before the quest is over, and Gustavo will not allow them in. He just takes it over, it becomes Gustavo's tower. And that's more or less everything I have on Chief Gustavo, the fella who's in charge of security over at Tenpenny Tower in the Capital Wasteland in Fallout 3. I hope you've enjoyed that, because that has been this week's lore. Hey everybody, segment 3. So, a minor update. Next week, there will not be an episode. I am moving. And it's going to be kind of a stressful move. I'm not going tremendously far, but I have lived in the same apartment for one day shy of 4 years. This January, I will be in Colorado for 5 years, half of a decade, longer than I was in high school. Oh my God. And I'm moving to a nicer apartment. But I have a lot of things that I have to move. When I moved out here, oh my God. If you actually watch that one episode, I believe it's called Two Friends Talk for the Last Time, which seems a little melodramatic even for me. It's episode 199. It is called Two Friends Talk for the Last Time. I really recommend that episode, 199. I forgot that was, but in that episode, I talk about the things that I'm moving and like how I moved everything from one side of the country to a little more than the middle of the country, and I have more stuff. I've been pretty much I went from the apartment that I moved into to this apartment that I'm in, and I've been here for pretty much 4 years. So I have more stuff. And it's one of those things where I have to move these things. And it's been a little more stressful than I would like. Also, I have a new job, because when it rains, it pours. I have a new job. And because of that, I am now working a different schedule. So sometimes the episodes are going to be Wednesdays or Thursdays. I did tell them my schedule kind of rotates. And I did tell them that I really needed Wednesday or Thursday off. If the episodes start coming out on Thursday, if the episodes start getting recorded on Thursday, I still want to have them out Saturday, Sunday-ish, and no later than Sunday. If I can get them out on Saturday, perfect. Sunday is like a last resort type beat, but I will be moving, and I have to get my internet changed over. I have to move a bunch of accounts. I have to do a bunch of things. So there will not be an episode. Actually, I'm going to edit this episode. And hopefully it'll be out on time on Saturday, if not Sunday. And I am then just going to tear the computer down and put it in a box, put it in the box that the computer case was in. And it's just, that's it. Like, until I move into my new place, that's where the computer will be. So I don't think I'll be gone 2 weeks. I really don't. I don't want to be, but who knows? I would like for it to be a 1 week thing. And then I'll be back. But I just want to let you know this now. The days of these episodes are being recorded live. If you're not in the Patreon for the film live in front of a studio audience tier, this doesn't really affect you. But if you are, it might be a Thursday. It might be a Thursday instead of, I kind of don't hate the idea of it being on a Friday, but people do things on Fridays and it's already enough to say, give me an hour, 45 minutes, 30 minutes, whatever of your time during the week to sit and watch this show. Which, thank you. I appreciate it. I don't want you to think that I don't. I very much do. It's just people's times are precious. I get it. All this to be said, next week, the week of the 27th, 26th, 27th, 28th, that weekend, if you're in the U.S., Mountain Standard Time, of course, there will not be an episode. But I'll be back. I'll be back hopefully right after that. If not, I'll keep everybody updated on Patreon and I'll let you know. Might have to sort some things out. I will be having a little bit of extra space that I might be able to put like some things around and make like a dedicated studio, even if it's like a half a studio setting. But I'll be more than happy to tell you guys when I get there. Also, I have to get an updated picture of the Fallout shelf because it has to be redone. But to summarize, no episode next week. And the live recordings may be moved today. Other than that, I hope you've enjoyed the episode. The intro music that should be playing right now, the intro and the outro music, is by the one and only Shane Ivers. It's called Feather Duster, and you can get it at silvermansounds.com/freemusic/feather duster. I want to give a quick shout out again to the Patreon. I love you. Check it out if you like the show. Link in the description below to that, to my Twitter, Kyle's Twitter, the show's Twitter. Also, the Redbubble if you want to support, buy a merch or two. A bunch of other fun stuff down there. Join the Discord. I love you. I'll be seeing you real, real soon. Thank you for sticking around. I hope you've enjoyed this week's episode. Bye. Love you.
Atomic Radio Hour Podcast.
A Ghoulman Entertainment Production.